Our scripture lesson this morning is found in the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, reading verses 38 to 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put large sums in. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The story of the widow's mite is probably one of the most familiar stories in the Bible, you know, maybe outside of all the Christmas stories. We were all taught this story in Sunday school. And I found this, somebody put this online. I guess everybody's doing this today for their scripture lesson. But this pastor named Ann Wells put this on. She said, "Remember how the church show-offs Jesus was telling his disciples about yesterday? As we continue the story today, we see exactly what Jesus was talking about. I remember learning as a child that these rich people putting large amounts of money in the collection boxes were doing so with many coins of smaller denominations in order to draw attention of the crowd with all the noise. In the midst of all these noisy attention seekers, however, comes a widow with her offering. No one but Jesus notices her because she's female, probably older, and the two small coins make hardly any sound going into the box. She's not interested in being noticed, just in doing her part to serve God with her money like she's been taught to do. In her faithfulness, even with a small amount, she will get a much better reward than the rich men who are getting nothing more than the fleeting attention of the crowd." And that's kind of the way I remember Sunday school, right? That's kind of the story, the meaning that we've all heard. I think I remember as a child growing up in Church in the Pines in Laurel Hill, and we sat on the, as you walked in the left side, about three rows from the front, those are the Morgan pew. Don't you get in it, the Morgan pew. And we sat there with my grandfather, Edwin Morgan. And, you know, I was just a kid. I was, you know, a child. I didn't know, you know, he was the head of a company that owns seven textile mills. And this was his home church. He grew up in the Church in the Pines as a child. But I did notice, with the curiosity of a 10-year-old, I noticed that when the collection plate came by, and he always sat more towards the middle of the aisle, so when it came from this side, we would put our stuff in, or my mom would put our stuff in, and he would be after us. And he always palmed what he was putting in there. You couldn't see it. He had his thumb in his thumb like that. And it was kind of like a card dealer, you know, and he had that thing, so it's absolutely hidden. You had no idea what he was putting in the collection plate. And, you know, it started to really eat at me, like, what's he doing, you know? And so, one time, I decided to sit right on the aisle, you know, and just make sure I was after him so I could see what he put in. And so it happened. It came down from the outside, came to the inside, and he was right to my left side, and he palmed that thing and put it in. And I grabbed the plate, and I looked, And he had folded up that bill so that all you could see was the little green middle. You couldn't see any numbers. He had a special origami kind of fold to that thing that you couldn't see anything. And I know that had to come from this story. You know what I mean? I mean, it had to come from this story of the widow's mite, that he was so aware of not flaunting it in front of other people that he folded it up in a secret fold and palmed it and put it in there so that not even the ushers could see what Mr. Edwin Morgan was putting in the collection plate. And I think that's kind of our usual takeaway from this. And, you know, and of course, the big thing is what Jesus says, beware, is the very first thing Jesus says, you know, beware of scribes who like to walk around in long robes, just like this, who to be greeted with respect, to have the best seats, places of honor. They devour widows' houses, and we'll talk about what that is, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. So they're all about appearances and looks. And what I'd like to do today, these are the kind of big kind of headlines of this thing, is to look a little bit differently, maybe, and tease out a few of the lesser themes of this that you may not have heard since you were a child. And first, we got to think about the context of this. Remember, I guess I don't say this in church enough, I say it in the Bible study, is that the verses, the actual numbers and chapters in the Bible were not part of the original documents. You know, when Mark wrote this gospel, it didn't have, you know, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. It didn't have chapter 1 through 16. It was just on a long roll of papyrus he was writing. The numbers and chapters didn't get put in until the 1500s, 1500 years later. And it was by a guy named Stephanus. The legend is he was on his donkey going from his home to his factory. And when he did this, and that if you ever see a really weird division, that's when his donkey stepped in a pothole and jarred him. But that's how random it is. It's not in any of the original documents. And so it's easy to sort of divorce or separate this passage from what follows it and what is before it. And I just want to remind us what the context is in here. Just before our passage today, chapter 12, 28 to 34, Jesus encounters a good scribe, which is kind of odd because he's always talking about how bad the scribes were. But this was a good scribe who asked him, you know, what his message was, and Jesus puts it back on him and says, what do you think the message is? What's the central thing? And he answers rightly. He says, to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And if you do this, it's better than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus says to the scribe, you're not far from the kingdom of God. So even though he knew this group of people was out to get him, and was generally corrupt, and Jesus was able to realize that this guy was not as corrupt as the rest of them. He was near the kingdom of God, which we can learn from. You know, we think a certain political party is corrupt. You know, we can say there may be some good ones in that political party, or there may be some good ones in, you know, they play football at the other school or something. Doubtful, but there may be one. So that's right before this. And then Jesus denounces these scribes. It's not saying all scribes are evil. He's saying the ones that are evil are the ones who seek praise and show off and devour widows' houses, which means that they are taking all the money, getting all the widows to give them their money, and so they don't have anything left. Those are the evil scribes. And he says, beware of them. And then it connects right to the story of the widow and the widow giving. And then, and this is the one we lose track of because it's chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, but it's still in Paul's papyrus, it was right next to it. Jesus says the temple is going to be destroyed. And because the disciples go, wow, look at all these great stones. And Jesus says, yeah, they're not going to be one upon another. And so what he's saying is this whole system that the scribes have set up here is corrupt and it's going to fall down. And you've got to connect 13, 1 and 2 with what we're doing today. All right, so let's just talk about these themes. And the first one may be fairly obvious with the story of the widow's mite. And that is this. Even if your resources are small, do what you can do. And that was excellent children's sermon that Norman was talking about. That's what he was saying. Maybe you don't have a lot of money. You can use your talent or your time. But, you know, I think what we get overwhelmed with is the enormity of some of these things. You know, we want to solve homelessness. We want to solve, the problems that previously incarcerated people have when they get home. And that's a worldwide, nationwide problem. We want to solve climate change. And we think, well, what if I'm putting my plastic in a little tub and I'm putting it in a little blue thing and, you know, that's all I can do. It's not going to do the whole thing. And so sometimes it's easy to give up because we can't solve the whole thing ourselves. And what this widow mite thing says, just do what you can do. You don't have to solve the whole thing. You just be the part that God has given you to be. It makes a difference for you to do it. And you've heard this story. This is a great story about a guy walking on the beach with his 10-year-old son. And the tide had just washed in a whole lot of starfish and just planted them on the beach. And then the tide pulled out. And they were all lying in the sun. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds down the beach of these starfish were lying, drying out in the sun. And they were all surely going to die. And the little boy ran over to one of the starfish and he threw it back into the water. And the father goes, "Son, what are you doing? That's not going to make a difference." And the son goes, "It did to him." And that is what we have to think about, making a difference to one. The program that Catherine was talking about, being a part of that program, the Healing Waters Ministries, makes a difference. And it may not solve everything, but it makes a difference to some people. And so be involved in these ministries. Be involved in Trinity. We're going to be reaching out a lot this year because you can do what you can do. And that's what this is that when you give the widow's mite, it may just be the widow's mite, but you can do what you can do. And what it does is it changes you. It does help them, but it changes you. So that's the first thing. Even when your resources are small, do what you can do. The second theme is trust in God to take care of the world. And that may sound kind of weak, but it's not. Think of that hymn, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. God so loved the world that God gave God's only son." This widow places everything, her whole life, in this treasury because she trusts God with all she has and all she is. And here's the problem with it. The treasury, it was supposed to take care of the widows. In other words, people were supposed to give to that little treasury, and that money was going to take care of the poor and those who didn't have anything. That was what it was supposed to do. But the scribes had changed that so that they started getting a cut. And not only did they pull out long rattling coins and stuff like that to put in there so you could get a lot of credit, they got money out of the treasury instead of giving it to the woman. That's when it taught about devouring widows' houses. They were getting that money instead of the widow. And yet, she trusted God with her money, putting it in the treasury. She probably knew because she didn't get anything from it. She probably knew it was corrupt. But she put it in there anyway because that was the way she was going to tithe. That's the way she was going to give what she had. And that's that, and it connects with what that good scribe said before. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, love the Lord your God with all you have. And that God will take care of this world if you're loving God with all you have. And that's what she did. She put all she had in God's hands that day. So first theme is even when your resources are small, do what you can do. Second thing is trust God to take care of the world. And third, and this is the last one, it's a sermon, so it's three, right? Look for the people that are invisible. Look for the people who are invisible. She was there. Nobody saw her except one, Jesus. Jesus noticed her. Everybody else was attracted by the sound of all the clinking coins. And all the rich people, man, I wonder how much he put in. Man, he's something. Pouring all that money in there, rattling. And so, and I love the way you talked about, Norman, about with her head held high and a smile on her face, walking up there, putting her coin in. She's the one that Jesus saw. Even though she was poor and she was a widow, and had not much. Jesus, and in society in that time, and in the society this time, she would have been invisible. She wouldn't have been looked at. But Jesus saw her. Jesus sees the invisible people, and we need to pray for that vision, that we can see those who are invisible and reach out to them. And in this county, the invisible are generally the homeless, the recently incarcerated, the poor. Those are the people that we don't see. And it may be, you know, in an urban setting, you see them more because they're in the city and they're sleeping outside on park benches and stuff like that. In a rural setting, you don't see the poor that much. They are invisible. And so this word to us is, don't be distracted by celebrity. She was marginalized and she was transparent, and nobody saw her because of the noise of the rich people's coins rattling into the treasury. But Jesus saw her and the faith she had in God. She gave God her whole life. And so this year, and part of what you're pledging to this year, this coming 2022, you know, we're going to reach out to some of these invisible people. Trinity Press, we're going to reach out. We're going to reach out to the homeless, homeless children, homeless families. We're going to reach out to those who've been recently incarcerated, who have a hard time finding a job, who have a hard time fitting in with their families and with social groups. We're going to reach out to those who are hungry in our community in Scotland County, because those are the ones who are invisible. And that is what this parable is. I keep saying it's a parable. It's not a parable. It happened. It seems like a parable. It happened. That is what this incident shows us, that Jesus looked around and what attracted his attention was that woman. And he, just like everything, he turns everything upside down. The disciples were in that world too, where you kind of were in awe of rich people, in awe of all the noise they were making. And Jesus turns it on and says, no, look at that. That's what you need to be looking at. You need to be looking at that woman who has given everything she has, trusting in God to change the world. Even though her resources are small, she is doing what she can do. So I think we need to take those three things away from this parable. You know, the obvious thing, you know, is beware of showing off your faith and all that stuff. The obvious thing is, you know, what my grandfather, Edwin Morgan, was aware of. But when your resources are small, still give. Do what you can do. A lot of us still, there's other pledges coming in. Just keep coming in. If you haven't pledged, pledge. Because this is how the church works. This is how we do ministry together. Trust God to take care of the world. You do your part and trust God. And then third, look for those who are invisible and try to see them. Try to ask God for the vision to see them. I'm going to close with something I've read before, but usually when something's worth reading once, it's worth reading twice. And this is in your extras. This is written by Nadia Bolz-Weber, who's a Lutheran pastor, whose stuff I like a lot. And Rachel Held Evans was a 37-year-old, wonderful Bible teacher, spoke at Montreat a number of times, and she died a couple years ago of spinal meningitis, very suddenly. And Nadia Bolz-Weber was asked to do the benediction, and this benediction, it speaks to that thing of reaching out, trusting God in the world, and doing what we can do, and reaching out to those who are invisible. So let's close the sermon with this benediction. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are they who doubt. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are the preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those whom no one else notices. The kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables, the laundry guys at the hospital, the sex workers and the night shift street sweepers, the closeted, the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. I imagine Jesus standing here blessing us because that is our Lord's nature. This Jesus cried at his friend's tomb, turned the other cheek, and forgave those who hung him on a cross. He was God's beatitude, God's blessing to the weak in a world that admires only the strong. Jesus invites us into a story bigger than ourselves and our imaginations, yet we all get to tell that story with the scandalous particularity of this moment and this place. We are storytelling creatures because we are fashioned in the image of a storytelling God. May we never neglect that gift. May we never lose our love for telling the story. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we do feel like that widow of so long ago. Many of us are struggling with burdens. Some are financial burdens like hers. Some are the burdens of illness, of devastating diagnosis, of pain that won't stop. Some of us are burdened with loss, emotional pain, grief. And in all of those, we are widows, and all we have is a mite. So, oh God, please give us the faith and the strength to walk with our heads upright and a smile on our faith and put that mite into your hands. Trust you with all we have, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.